The first, the meditation. Jesus cries out. Luke 23:34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We open today with Christ upon the cross. The last 2 days have been a blur. Just 2 short days ago, Christ was praying in the garden. He's been arrested. He's been mocked. He's been beaten far more than any other man. It says, beyond recognition. He's been accused. He's been betrayed. And as one of his last acts of humanity, he cries out to his heavenly Father. And says, "Daddy, these knuckleheads don't know what they're doing. Forgive them." If we look at the structure of those words, I'm neither a theologian nor a wordsmith, but I am told that they are in perfect present tense. And what they're really saying is he continued to say, "Father, forgive them." From the garden. I got to go back to the mic. From the garden, he continually said, "Father, forgive them." He knew what the outcome was going to be. "Father, forgive them." I want to point to you something else the scripture says. As believers, those things which Jesus did and greater things are we to do. We're called to do that which Christ did. This book, the Bible, has been called by many names. But the words that are used most often that I have a fondness for is a manual for life. If we were to really read it, mark it, and inwardly digest it, i.e. follow it, I am convinced our lives would be a lot happier, our priorities a lot clearer, and our faith, well, at least it would be a lot more defined. Case in point in the Old Testament. A remembrance that was brought to mind just recently. But 3 young men who had great faith in Christ, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or as my son used to say a minute ago, in Daniel 3:16, when faced with making a decision counter to their faith, turned to the king Nebuchadnezzar and said, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter of worshiping his golden image. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Their heart was resolute. Their faith was set. They didn't have the privilege of having this book. They were ready to forgive the king and put their counsel in the God that they served. I'm going to give you a hero of mine in today and explain a custom that I had in this church for a couple of years. Meredith and Casey Harlow. They were faced every time they went to a doctor with Noah, when Meredith was carrying. They were faced with being told to abort, that it was no good, that it wouldn't work. And their faith was resolute. God gave us this child. And even if he has some deformity of whatever, this is what God has for us, but he will be okay. Their faith was resolute. They were willing to stand to the doctors. Y'all ask many times, why did I always stand on Sunday and go, "Hello, Noah"? Because he was a miracle. Amen. He was a man, a young man born of faith by parents. He was a witness what God will do when we do not doubt. The question today, are we willing to walk in the faith that Christ has called us to walk in? And it begins with, are we willing to forgive those who abuse us? Those who unrighteously misuse us? Those who in error, by their own predisposition of what happened to them in their past, make a bad call? Greater things than Christ did are we called to do. Our motto in life, Father, forgive them. Have you forgiven your parents for what they, in your eyes, failed to do? I tell you, most parents did the best they could. Have you forgiven your sisters or your brothers? Have you forgiven your boss? Have you forgiven your husband or your spouse? Have you forgiven your children? Are you praying instead of looking to misuse someone and abuse someone? Are you praying and asking God, what about me? What can I do to share your kingdom? This week, we've all witnessed, because of the amazing thing of television and all, one of the most horrific events I've ever seen in our nation. A man who, after paying his complete posted fare and taking an assigned seat upon an airline, was brutally ejected from a plane. After a broken nose and two lost teeth and a concussion, so that that company could accomplish its desired goals the next day somewhere else. As bad as that scene was, worse yet, no one on that plane stood up to the Port Authority and said, this is wrong. Everyone, out of fear of being an accomplice, out of fear of maybe being singled out or maybe even being removed from that plane, sat silently. We're not a police state. No one at Jesus' account, even his disciples, abandoned him or rejected him. The question I leave with you this day: is Jesus saying about us, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do? Are we ready to stand in the account of saying, Christ, count me in. I will not reject you. I will not accomplish things by my private goals. I will not be the accuser or be part of the crowd that does not react. Christ stood in that moment of eternity and said nothing. And yet no one whose life he affected, no one who was in the crowd hours before yelling Hosanna, said anything either. Passions that were inflamed by men who had hidden agendas, and they carried the day. Where would we be in this picture? We need to learn to stand in our faith and speak boldly, because we're the difference between a Christian world and chaos.